Hello. Good day. Hello, everybody. I'd like to thank Ana Luisa and all the organizers of this conference, which is very important for at the time that we're living, that is to say, after the events of 11 September and all the troubles that we're knowing across the world, or that we're experiencing across the world. And in particular, the rise of the extreme right throughout the world. I want to talk to you. Do you hear? I want to talk to you of the misdevelopment or poor development on the effect on women. What I call mal développement is a project that's poorly conceived or poorly brought about, or brought about by the agenda that's very hidden agenda by the governments of economic profit and not for the well-being of the population. And for that, I will start with the example of a development project of the Senegal River. The Senegal River is a river that is in West Africa. It starts in the Republic of Guinea, and it links Mali, Mauritania, and Senegal. It's an old project. I was going to say in 1985, but that's when it started. The people who make decisions decided that there would be hydroelectric dams on that river. And in effect, it's to counter, they say, to the effects of desertification and its consequences, that is to say, it's the drought and desertification, which bring about famine, deforestation, and destabilization flocks and whatnot. And between Mauritania, Senegal, and Mali, linked together in an organization, what they called the Organization for Development of the Senegal River, around this project. But to understand the things that are in play, you need to understand what the situation was before in the valley, because of the traditional way that the space was used. Today, the deplorable conditions of the in which the habitants or the people who live there are experiencing, and to take account of what's happened after the big drought of the 1970s, the rich cultivatable soil around in the area of Senegal gave the possibility and the on the territory around there, on the lands around there, the women would be able to work on the lands that would be belong to their husbands, and that gave not only a security and a food security to the people of the region, but also gave surpluses at the time when they'd be able to use the where they would be able to meet their needs for cereals and for other, even in the bad seasons, because they'd have surpluses to be able to meet, to go even if there was a poor season. In certain tribes, the Wagago Pesha, the fishermen or fisher people, would be able to fish in the river. These traditional systems were very adapted to the dynamism of the ecosystem and to the... And that's the end of the citation that she was... All the after the hydroelectric dam, all those situations changed. It pushed the populations back into the desertified region. And we need to note that before even the climactic conditions, the political leaders weren't worried about the effects on the people. Monsieur Fleury from the potential of the Senegal Valley, in particular for rice, but also for sorgho and for vegetables and even wheat, is comparable to that of Sudan, which we could say, which could be the granary of that area of Africa. And it represents 16% of the population in those three countries is in the area of the Senegal Fleuve. $500 to $600 million American have been invested, and from Germany, Holland, Canada, United States, and the member countries of the European Union, as well as Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and the World Bank and the World Monetary Fund, to give an idea of the breadth of what is in play in the development of the hydroelectric project in Senegal. There's a triple objective. The first is to give a agricultural complex of 575,000 hectares and to create and to develop large amounts of kilowatts that allow the exploitation of the mining resources in Mali and in Senegal. And thirdly, the idea is to ensure navigation of the Senegal Fleuve so that to the development of Mali and of the port cities. And this is the there have been a lot of studies on the recommendations that would have minimized the risks and maximized the positive effects, but unfortunately the results were not taken into account by the deciders and the people providing the funds. And what that led to has had a lot of negative impacts, of which I will talk to you a little bit quickly, because we don't have enough time. We never have enough time in North America. So quickly, I would like to say to you that on the level of food, there have been a minimizing of the resources that could have permitted enough food for the populations. There was also the problem of water, but the biggest, equally the on the level of the effect on the ecosystem itself. But the most serious problem is the inter-ethnic conflicts between the population in the Mauritanian, that is to say the black African populations, and the Arabo-Berber population. To understand that, you have to understand that Mauritania is a country that was created wholesale in the 1870s, I believe, when they didn't have any choice but to give independence to the African countries. In the 1970s, where General de Gaulle had to give them independence, and knowing that these little countries all cut up would in Mali, Senegal, etc., could not assure their own development, as well as on the North Africa or on the south of the Sahara. There were federations of those countries to be at the universal meeting place of history. A lot of people. So if there was a confederation of the countries of the north and the countries, or the countries of the south, there would be another power that would be just as powerful as the colonial powers. So there was another country that was created to divide those countries. So they took part of the Maroc and they took part of Senegal. And so they were part of the Arabo-Berber, and part of it was black Africans, people who had always been in conflict, and therefore to put them together was to throw down the foundations for violence and inter-ethnic violence. And there have been a lot of crises, which I could talk to you later. But it's the hydroelectric dam, which is the objective, is to develop the sub-region, is to bring about development, has only managed to create, develop more the, or to heighten the crisis between those ethnic groups because of the effects that I talked to you about before, like the 500 hectares that were fertilized or that were made cultivatable, and the enormous amounts of energy that were produced, is to, they created jobs, but it's found that those people, those areas are populated by the black Africans, but so that there's a control on the system, the old colonial power, the French colonial power, took the Arabo-Berber and gave them the power. They crushed the great majority. It's kind of like in South Africa, where a population, a minority population is imposing its will on a majority population that's black. And there have been several wars, civil wars, and so, etc. And what the Arabo-Berber have done in the face of that is that they've made a conflict with the Senegal and deported by hundreds and thousands the people. But before that, they... And in particular, women, like in all crises, have suffered the brunt of those deportations, of the effects of those deportations, and are in the refugee camps today. And these, it's in those camp, in the refugee camps that we find those people, of which the majority are women. They separate the women from their children in a very atrocious way. They take away their property, their jewelry, in their gold and silver jewelry, and taken away their babies to put them into slavery. Because in Mauritania, they still practice slavery. In the worst of the despair is that most number of women have been raped, and these are from reports from Amnesty International and Africa Watch that say this. And another thing that we can note is in face in the, of the cruelty of this war that's been led by black, by created by blacks, when we see the president of Senegal went to the hospital to visit the people who had been deported, he couldn't hold back his tears because of the men who had been castrated, men who had had their breasts cut off, women who had their stomachs cut open to have babies removed from them, women who had false pregnancies, or miscarriages rather, and who have had, and others who have had to give birth to children who were the result of a rape. And so the conditions in the camps are very deplorable. The women told us when we had arrived. Ana Luisa said that I created a network of women to help the refugees and repatriated people. And we made an appeal to ask for those women. We went to see those women, asked them what their main needs were. And they said that the biggest, since the delegation that came, you're the first delegation to give us a voice. We always talk to women. But the men can't know certain, about certain issues. The men can't express certain women problems that women have. For example, the problem of not having enough soap or not having enough dishes or facilities to water, to clean dishes. And there's been very little action for the promotion of women. And what's even worse is in those refugee camps, there's a reproduction, very pure and simple, of the traditional division of labor. That is to say that women take on the... Not only do they have to go do the cooking and go and get water, they go get wood. And worse... We're still the work that comes back to that traditionally are men's jobs is that come on or fall upon women, which is to say that they have to go out and get the food as well, take care of sick children that they can't, they don't have any medication, there's no infrastructure for them to take to do that, and as well there have been the women, a lot of women were pregnant, and it's goes without saying that a lot of those pregnancies were unwanted, but exactly what the women are fighting against: the hunger, cold, sickness, who have been ripped away from their homes. These women are don't get the medical help that they need. And the UNHCR has said that to try and help the refugees is that to try and help women the people that should be helped the first, because they are the pillars of the family. And yet the HCR now wants to abandon the populations in those camps, and that will bring on other forms of violence and will put at risk all the development projects in the region, including the development of the Fleuve Senegal, the Senegal River. And they say that it's not going to make anybody cry. There's a complicity of the international community. Between 1989, the populations have been there, and some of them ended up in the cities, some of them ended up in Europe and in France and other places. But I think it's time that the question of the Mauritanian refugees find a durable solution, and it's just a question of applying the solutions that were proposed by the people affected themselves and by the conventions of the. All of them see as a solution the return of the refugees, compensation for property that was lost, reintegration of civil servants to their jobs, and we need to create a situation where there's equitable treatment of women. And the Arabo Berber, what the Arabo Berber are making the black population, or are doing to the black population, is no less than a genocide, is a part of the, follows from the genocide of slavery, where people were exported to Brazil and to the United States in slavery. And the United States, which became one of the greatest power in the world, the blood is on the hands of their ancestors. And it's important that Africans in the diaspora hold their hands together and in solidarity against the slavery in Mauritania and in Sudan. And as Africans for the survival of Africans. And that is to say, the African people needs to be reunited. The African people have been attacked and dislocated throughout the world, but they've managed to survive because. And if today if you do a proper analysis, the most powerful men of the world are black, and that's because the people who were deported don't need to say that they were the descendants of slaves, but they were the descendants of resistance in refusal of extermination of a part of the human race. If you look today, Colin Powell, who was the descendant of Jamaicans, is. And some of the other defendants, the reactionaries, could never have thought that a descendant of Jamaica someone deported to Jamaica could be one of the most powerful men. If we look today, Ariel Berry, who is one of the most beautiful women of the world, I heard her say, an American woman spit in her face. Why do you take black women as models? Because can black women not be models of beauty as well? And Nelson Mandela, who was in prison for 27 years, who didn't think of vengeance, because vengeance in the face of violence is a perpetuation of violence. And in my opinion, these Africans, once reunited, once reconstituted, the people must preserve them or stop themselves from the feelings of vengeance, and do like the professor recommends, so that is that linked together with other nations, so that the 21st century be the dawn of justice, truth, and a more equal and just society.